Welcome to the latest edition of K-Rock Football's Coaches Catch-Up. Here's your host, Tom King.
Standing alone in the hot seat after the departure of Andrew Clark, who's done a wonderful job turning the fortunes of Geelong West around in the last 5 years, Mitch White does go it alone after sharing the co-coaching role for a couple of seasons and an assistant coaching role before that at Bakers Oval / West Oval. He's been good enough to join us in the K-Rock studio. Hello, Whitey.
G'day, Kingy.
Good to have you back and be talking footy. Did we talk last year? Did we get our coaches catch up done before everything shut down?
Yeah, just in time, I think, last year. So, yeah, good to be back doing it alone this year.
Not much happening in the last 12 months in the world? Pretty quiet?
Nah, hasn't been much going on.
How are the boys at Bakers Oval in preparation for this year?
Yeah, it's been great to actually get back outside your house, I guess, over what's been rolled out over the last 12 months. But yeah, it's an exciting place to be around, obviously, with everything happening with the development at the main oval and then tied in with everyone being cooped up for 12 months. It's been exciting to get back out and had really good numbers on the track, which obviously makes it more enjoyable.
You and I were lucky enough to tour through that facility at probably three quarters of the way through back in early December. I believe it's basically at fit out stage right now, and we're probably 8 weeks away from it being usable.
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, haven't been able to get another tour since the royalty went through with us there, but from all reports, it's looking amazing, and obviously a lot of people's hard work's gone into getting it to where it is. So, yeah, we're obviously super excited to have a facility like that as our own to use in the future. So, really looking forward to getting in to see the finished product and unveiling it for the rest of the league to see.
For Geelong West GFL, it's a step up, but gee, for Geelong West GDFL from the facility at Bakers Oval, and I know obviously footy hasn't been played there at a senior level since I think 2007 was the last year. People that have been involved with the Cheetahs going back must look at it and go, wow, we made a pretty good decision to align ourselves with the other West.
Yeah, absolutely. I think from the humble beginnings at Bakers Oval, it's certainly a bit of a step up, but look, with the one club mentality we have now, it's great to obviously have so many people involved there with the women's, the juniors, the netball. It's just going to be a great facility for everyone to have access to. And, you know, looking at being a regional facility, hopefully other people will get use out of it as well.
Yep. I suspect as a coach going forward, you'll look forward to off-season 2021-22 in taking prospective recruits, saying, well, if you join our club, this will be your base.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be a fantastic differentiation to other clubs in the area. And, you know, one look at the facility and going through, I think people will be blown away. I know I was the first time I walked through it, just how unbelievable it's going to be once it's finished. So to, you know, walk potential recruits through, that's obviously going to have a massive impact on them compared to some of the other, you know, local facilities that are rolling around.
Yep. Your club, more than anyone, was probably disappointed 2020 didn't go ahead, because you were looking to redeem yourself for 2019. Yeah, that wonderful 2018, you returned to the finals and build a platform to hopefully use in 2019 going forward. Probably served up a tougher draw, but then also some injuries and unavailabilities hurt you. And 2020 was a year you were really, some good recruits really focusing on. Did that make it a tougher pill to swallow that you had to wait a little bit longer to get that redemption?
Yeah, well, I guess so. We were super keen to get out there last year, and I think the way we built ourselves up for the pre-season, we're really building towards round one, and we had a really good feel around the place. So it was obviously disappointing not to be able to run out last year, but obviously things became put into perspective, obviously, with all the other things that were going on. So that did take a backseat in the end, but it was obviously disappointing the way we finished 2019. Whether we got a little bit complacent with our recruiting and sort of didn't, branch out as much as we possibly could have and tap into resources that we've now accessed and different players that we probably could have had access to at that time. But obviously the point system does come into play in that as well. So you've got to be targeted with how you do recruit. So it does play a massive part in it. But we're looking forward to redeeming ourselves and hopefully heading back to finals action. But I think, you know, everyone's been in the same boat as us and will improve massively from that 2019 period too. So, you know, we're at no illusions that, you know, we are coming from eighth spot, I think it was, in 2019. But, you know, we're confident that we can match it with the best as we did in 2019 at times. So.
Yep, absolutely. Your recruits for 2020, you picked up some very handy ones. Just to remind for our listeners again, some of those guys, and will they all be back?
Yeah, so obviously there's a strong Ocean Grove connection, which has been tapped into again this year. So sorry to Pete Davey if he listens to this, but
there's a saying going around that old Ocean Grove players don't retire; they just go to Geelong West.
Oh, I don't know about that, but look, to be honest, I haven't had to do too much of that recruiting. The word of mouth through the boys that have come down initially and have really enjoyed their time has meant that they're wanting to bring their mates and get them involved. But obviously having Justin Carey sign on last year, Kelly Williams, very experienced and will be very handy footballers, especially in the Geelong and District League. Ted Wallace jumping on board as well. Joseph Bangura, Tom Burke, Mitch Viney from the Geelong West GFL side. And then, obviously a number of Ocean Grove players this year, Caden Long, Tom Lundberg, James Pears, Trav Gavin, Sam Fairway. It's an extensive list of Ocean Grove, it seems like. But, we're rapt that those guys have, seen the direction that we're heading and want to be part of it. And they're not just good players, they're good people to have around the club. And that's, first and foremost, that we want to build a good culture. But, on-field success obviously helps to build that as well.
Yep. You and I spoke a couple of weeks ago about James Linton. The Linton connection to Geelong West had been floating around for probably since before Christmas, but you had to get your ducks in a row with him. Are you any further advanced on knowing how much you'll have of him this year, if at all?
No, to be honest, we don't expect to see Jim this year. Having some discussions with him, as I mentioned to you, Kingy, it's not something that I've driven personally myself. I've had, a few conversations with Jim, but a lot of his mates are involved now at the club. So we just mentioned to him, if you do get the opportunity to have a run around and, the body does hold up, he's obviously battling those hip injuries which have potentially caused him to finish up. If he wants to have a run around, he may as well do it with his mates. So, he was happy to jump on board if that... that opportunity arises.
Right. All those 2020 recruits are going to carry points, and a lot of them will carry three, some will carry four. Most of your 2021 recruits will carry three. You've got 42 to play with. How will you fit them all in?
The really good thing has been how we've been able to retain our list, over the last 4 years, meaning that everyone else on the list is pretty much a one-point player. So, we're obviously building a good culture that guys want to stay around, which means that you are able to go out and actively recruit each year, because it can get difficult if you have a high turnover of players. If you're continually topping up with threes and fours each year, you just can't seem to get ahead of the eight ball at all. So, having a lot of our guys continue to stick around and want to be part of it has meant that we're able to go and actively recruit these guys in. So, as far as we can see, we shouldn't have any problems with points. And then a lot of the guys that in the past have carried points, now carry 1 point. So our depth players that potentially, would have been 3 or 4 points in the past, which means it's difficult for them to get in, it now only 1 point. So, positions are going to be up for grabs in all areas on the ground, which is something we haven't had in the past.
Yep. That 2 point deduction for those who played in 2019 would have helped a few of your boys out?
Yeah, I think there's probably three that will assist with. I think Mick Leem and Josh Viney and Curtis Young were the three that we pinpointed that will definitely assist with.
Yep.
Mick, obviously coming from another GDFL club, meant he carried a high amount of points initially. So the other two now I think are a 1 and a 2 point player. So it's obviously been beneficial that they've stuck around as well.
Talking about Liam, has Adam's gone off to Newcombe?
Yep, he wanted to have a different challenge and test himself at a higher level. So we're absolutely supportive of anyone that wants to, have a crack at a higher level. Obviously, Braden Mitchell and Josh Karkeek wanting to do the same at GFL level. Obviously, Brado has been a fantastic player for us over the last number of years. And, I think he'll do very well at a GFL level. The door's obviously open if he ever decided he wanted to come back, but I've got no doubt that he'll be a very good player at GFL level.
I keep a detailed in and out list for every league for krockfootball.com.au. Never have I written in Singapore Wombats as a club that a player has come from. Now, the clearance for Nick Robson has been lodged from Eastern Footy League, but he's been playing in and living in Singapore and has found himself at Baker's Oval.
Yeah, he has. So Ryan Gans was our captain, was to be our captain last year. He just got chatting with him and asked him to come down for a run. So, Nick's come down for a run and, look, he hasn't missed a beat. Has probably been in the top five in our running. And yeah, he's given himself every chance to be up there for selection in round one.
And he might be a one-pointer because I don't think there's anything that says players from AFL Singapore carry significant points.
Yeah, well, it would be interesting to see how that one goes on the point system. But we're excited to have Nick on board. He's a great fella as well. So he ticks a lot of the boxes to be part of the Giants family.
Lockie Turner's had some GFL senior experience at Lara, which doesn't go astray when you come down to the GFL, but he'll probably carry 4 points.
Yes, we believe Lockie will probably carry 4 points, being a GFL senior player. But having someone of his experience will be fantastic to bounce ideas off. He's obviously coming along to play with a couple of his mates as well, so they'll enjoy having him as part of the club, not just on the field but off the field as well.
Yep, you might arguably have the best kick in the competition in Darcy Williamson, played at Barwon Heads, and before that, well, between his Barwon Heads stints, was punting in the USA at college.
Yeah, he's the one that sort of just fell into our lap a little bit too, Darcy. I played with him myself at Barwon Heads, and he's also a ripping fella to have down. But mates with a few of the boys, Tommy Lundberg, got him to come down just for a run to get. He said he felt like he wasn't fit enough, so just wanted to have a bit of a run around. And looks like he's really enjoyed himself and mentioned that he was potentially looking to have a run around. So popped a clearance in, and fingers crossed we can get some time into him, because he's a lovely kick, and having punting experience, someone you'd love to have kicking the footy to you as a forward.
I was going to say, out of the middle of West Oval too.
Yeah, absolutely. He might have a shot a couple of times, I reckon, lining up from the middle there. He's got a lovely shoe on him.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Ryan Gann's captain for 2020. Have you decided your captain for this year yet?
I'll hopefully lock that in next week along with our leadership group. Just did some voting last night and finalise that again tomorrow night, being Thursday, and then can hopefully make some announcements early next week for you.
Okay, very good. You've already had a hit out last Sunday, just gone, Irrawarra Beeyak at Evans Reserve in Nor Lane, which is very underutilised for football. It's not really a football facility. The rooms there are for cricket, and I think they play a bit of soccer there as well, but you were, I think, the third club after Drysdale and Ocean Grove on Saturday to have a hit out. Did you have to sort of rein the guys in a bit with this? Was there a bit of nervous energy that the guys just wanted to let themselves go?
Oh, absolutely. So we actually had a little bit of a hit out a couple of weeks ago against Bell Park on a Wednesday night, which was, it was a massive eye-opener just to see how eager the guys were to get back out there. As much as you can teach structure at training, it's absolutely out the window your first 15 minutes after they haven't played in 12 months. So, it was really good to get those cobwebs out early and sort of get the guys a bit more focused on, controlling what we can control once, they got their head around back playing footy again. So, absolutely, it's I think early days especially, guys will see that everyone's just happy to be back playing footy, but it's really good to see everyone back out there, just making sure as a coach that we switch the guys straight on to understanding how we want to play and move the footy, and teaching the right habits early, because if you get into bad habits, it can be hard to get out of them.
Who's a better footballer 12 months on? Who's somebody that maybe last year was a fringe player that, you think, he's going to fling between the ones and the twos, but might be a lock come round one against Centrals?
I wouldn't say necessarily a fringe player, but some people that have put in massive pre-seasons, which have really set himself up for big years, I'd say Curtis Hoare and Joseph Bangura, being a couple of the younger guys on our list of... really set the example for a lot of the list, in the way that they approach their training and the way that they approach their off-field preparation, whether it's before training, after training. They've set themselves up for massive years, and they both had fantastic games on Sunday. I think Bangers kicked 3 goals, 3 and 1 on the full. And coming out of the midfield, it's obviously fantastic to have ability to roll down forward, but they've given themselves every opportunity to have a big year, but just purely for the work they've done in that off-season. A couple of the guys that probably played in the twos more so for points than anything else, Xavier Slater and Dom Slater have both really put in really well over the off-season as well, both been rewarded with playing in our senior squads in practice matches, and I've got no doubt that they will yeah, given their opportunities this year, they've trained extremely well, and you know they do the right things when they play, and didn't look out of place at all on Sunday. So yeah, looking forward to what potentially they can bring this year as well.
How did Justin Carey cope with the gyms being closed through 2020?
He tells me he never goes to the gym, but I don't think those arms say otherwise. But he's still keeping fit with his boxing. A few of the boys now are down at, I think it's Wildfighter, they all head down there on the morning. But Justin's a fantastic asset to have, not just on field, but having him as part of our coaching structure as well has been massive help for me.
Yep. Do you and Clarkie still talk a bit? I know Clarkie's taken a role at Grovedale under Daniel Fraser, well, sort of gone back to where he was a little bit earlier. Do you still have some, you know, conversing with him?
Yeah, absolutely. He's been down to training a few times just to have a look. And yeah,
can't keep away.
It's very hard to, yeah. And we would never want Clarkie to stay away. That's a thing as well. He's obviously done such a great job in getting us to where the club is now. He's not someone we ever want to see away from the club. So I know that Matt, his son, was down there on Sunday watching us. So, they've got massive friends and connections still at the club, and you know it's great that they're still welcome, and they'll always be welcome back at the club. So yeah, it'd be good to see Clarkie there hopefully throughout the year at times.
Did you keep score on Sunday?
No, I didn't personally. It was more about just making sure we did the right things. But it was definitely a good hit out. I think the guys at Illawarra will certainly be on the improve this year.
Your first month, Werribee Central's there. Belmont Lions, a tricky one at Winter Reserve. And then you've got, it says the 24th of April that you hope to be home against Bell Post Hill. Is that still on the cards, or are you potentially having to play that one away?
Yeah, it's a good question. At this stage, as far as I'm aware, that one will still be locked in as a home game.
Okay, and that's a 5:30 twilight game as well.
It is. I think that might be the opening of the rooms for the whole facility. So it may be a full day, I think, for the whole club from GFL, GDFL, all on the same day, which would be a really good day for the club.
All right, so the Cats play the Eagles Saturday afternoon. West GFL play Saturday afternoon. If you're going to watch the Cats and not watching local footy, you've got half an hour to get yourself from Cadinia Park to West Oval.
Yeah, that's right. If you've had a few beers, stagger down and make your way through the gate. But I think it'll be, once people get a look at the facility, I think it's going to be a great place to watch footy from on the deck up the top there.
And East Geelong, to round out your opening month of season 2021, which is going to be an intriguing one in the GDFL, isn't it? You just, after a year off and then looking at what's been recruited at some clubs, right now, if you're trying to work out your top five or even your contenders, you're probably doing well. It's wide open, the GD.
Oh, absolutely. It's extremely difficult to pick, I guess, who the contenders. Obviously, Invalid for me is probably the standout in how well they've recruited. But as far as other clubs, you know, I think everyone's going to improve significantly on the 2019 season. I guess we can only take it, you know, the old cliche, one week at a time. You know, we'll just go out and prepare each week for the team that we come up against. And, you know, we believe that our best footy is usually good enough to match it with anyone on the day. So we'll prepare and control what we can control. And I think maybe in the past we've got a little bit focused on what other teams are doing and not worried too much internally about what we can control. So that's probably more of a focus for us this year.
Yeah, absolutely. On a personal note, 2022, have you and the club spoken about that? Have you locked in beyond this year, or you to talk about that as the year unfolds?
Yeah, just keeping those open discussions. I'm still keen to be involved into the future. It's just a matter of, I'd like to also, you know, keep the club's best interest at heart. I've been at the club since I was 6 years old. So not tying someone to a long-term contract also gives the club flexibility that, you know, if they need to jump on someone who's had, you know, AFL experience or is a good fit for the club, it means that I can take a backward step in a year's time. It still gives the club flexibility to do that as well. So, I'll always look at the club as the number one priority and not necessarily myself, but, you know, I'm still keen to be involved.
Whitey, really appreciate you giving us some of your time this afternoon and coming into K-Rock for a chat, and we wish you the best of luck for season 2021.
Thanks, Kingy.
Thanks for listening to this edition of K-Rock Football's Coaches Catch-Up. For other editions and the latest local news, head to krockfootball.com.au.